1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden is about to address reporters after hosting an historic summit with Japan and South Korea at Camp David.
Our countries are stronger and the world is safer. Let me say that again. Our countries are stronger and the world will be safer as we stand together.
The three nations issued a joint statement condemning China's dangerous and aggressive actions in the South China Sea. They also committed to consult each other and to coordinate responses to regional challenges like provocations and threats. It is painstaking and heartbreaking work for recovery teams in the town of Lahaina, devastated by those wildfires on Maui.
It just continues to be such a meticulous process to find everyone and sorting through that ash. We do know, we talked to a FEMA representative who told CBS News that they're finding a lot of people in their beds and a lot of people in their cars. So there's a mix of people who were sleeping and who were trying to get out and couldn't get out in time.
CBS's Elizabeth Campbell. Surveying the damage after a tornado barreled through parts of northern Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts today, WPRI-TV's Matt Paddock paints the picture.
Trees completely uprooted and uplifted, as limbs and broken branches hanging to power lines. Pool and children's toys ravished across yards and in trees. Roadways completely blocked off to traffic.
No injuries have been reported. Deaths and injuries in the war against Ukraine have reached a grim milestone.
Russia has suffered more casualties, an estimated 120,000 dead and 170,000 wounded, compared to Ukraine's 70,000 dead and 120,000 wounded.
CBS's David Martin. The rollout of free COVID-19 vaccines this fall seems to have hit a snag. CBS's Jim Krasula has the story.
The Biden administration's effort to provide free COVID-19 vaccines to millions of Americans without health insurance will not start at retail pharmacies until mid-October, while contracts are worked out. That could be weeks after Washington plans to make an updated COVID-19 vaccine shot available to the broader public.
The gap in coverage will come as COVID hospitalizations have ticked up in recent weeks and are expected to continue to climb. Former President Trump has reportedly pulled out of next Wednesday's GOP presidential debate. Political analyst Larry Sabato says this could have an effect on the other candidates.
You can't take your eyes off him, whether you love him or hate him. You never know what he's going to say or do. And there really isn't anybody else on that stage who's qualified for the debate who could possibly replace Trump.
Trump has been widely expected to skip this first debate and may sit for an online interview with former Fox News host Tucker Carlson. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Cookie wants to be a professional wrestler.
I'm Cookie Serratos and I'm 11 years old.
She also wants to win all the medals. That's why Cookie and her family make every day count, squeezing out her best with Go-Go Squeeze.
Okay, Cookie, let's break for a Go-Go Squeeze.
Go-Go Squeeze fruit-on-the-go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added.
Go, Cookie!
Because when you nurture your kids, you squeeze out the best in them. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. Not a low-calorie food. Products range from 11 to 13 grams of sugar and 60 to 70 calories per serving.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-day super sale, August 18th through the 21st, and get 40% off paint and stains with prices starting at $26.69. That means 40% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 40% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, August 21st. In Wood County, the Residential Options Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 115. The Citizens Groundwater Group will meet at 2 at the River Block Building in room 206. The Wisconsin Rapids School District New Colleague Luncheon is at 11:30 at East Junior High. The City of Nakusa will hold their Common Council meeting at 5 p.m. in the Council Chambers. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment meeting scheduled for 4 p.m. has been canceled. The Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30. The Stevens Point Common Council meeting is at 7 p.m. on Michigan Avenue. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 at the Adams County Library. The City of Adams Finance Committee will meet at 5, and the Common Council meeting will take place from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows dip down to about 58 tonight under partly cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 90 tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night, lows around 68. Dry with temperatures above average Sunday and Monday, and highs from the mid-80s to the low 90s.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 75.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 18th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Dan Minter, president at Assumption Catholic Schools, get an update on school seasons kicking off and talk about some of the athletics going on with the Royals. Right now, one of our favorite people, Gretchen Powers, is in with us from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. And it feels so good to say that. But Gretchen is here today, too. We're going to talk about the new season and preview a little of that, talk about some other things going on at the theater. But the main reason Gretchen is in with us today is to congratulate her and introduce her in this new position. Good afternoon, Gretch.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show today.
So, Gretchen, it was recently announced, there was a press release, that you are the new theater executive director.
Yeah.
How does that feel hearing that?
It feels weird because I never thought I'd see this day. I've kind of had this dream since I was a little kid to kind of run a theater, and it's very quickly coming true.
One of the things that I when I heard the news, the first thing I thought of was a message you sent me when reaching out about It's a Wonderful Life, and I it meant a lot to me. It still does to this day. It'll always be one of my favorite productions I've ever been a part of. When it came to that message, what got me with it was how much you cared, how much it meant to you. Not just the show, not just the performing for the audience, but the people that were already cast, that were already in that show. You were messaging me, and we didn't have a real personal relationship at the time. We didn't know each other that well or anything, so you were kind of messaging a stranger almost. And I am strange, so that's tough already. But you no holds barred. You came in, and this is more important. It's about them. It's not my uncomfortableness or anything like that. It's about my cast. And that made me want to work with you. I didn't even know the part. I wasn't even 100% about who I was playing. It was a Bailey, but I wasn't 100% sure because I didn't know the play that well. You had me right there. That kind of person is the perfect kind of person at this position to be about the people, whether it's the people in the stands or it's the people that are behind the curtain. It's a great position to be in for you. And it also, I feel like we should have seen this coming. Because for those that don't know, Gretchen isn't kidding about wanting to run a theater, so much so that you and Stephanie created one.
Yep. So, I've been involved with the community theater for a very, very long time, over 20 years at this point. I started when I was a little kid, and then by the time I was a teenager, Stephanie, my friend and I, we created a production company called Hopo Community Theater, which was basically just a little subgroup of WRCT where we did a fast-paced, intensive program for kids to learn how to put on a show in a very short amount of time, and it grew to a very high following and has been going strong for almost 13 years, I guess. Yeah, wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the legacy that you guys have created there. Gretchen, let's rewind a little bit. What were you previously doing? What kind of work were you previously up to?
So I actually have been a social worker for the last 9 years. So a completely different career choice. I was working for nonprofits such as Inclusive is my most recent one, but I also working for Lakeland Care, where I was a social worker for people with disabilities or the frail elder population, just basically coordinating their care and making sure that they had what they needed to, you know, be successful in their lives,
yeah,
living their best life possible.
You go from working in an industry like that, which is a nonprofit, to another one that's a nonprofit. I do think there is parallels. I do think that there are connections with that. And again, I come back to people and your care for people and the way you generally have this genuinely unique heart when you go in on something, it's all of your heart you put into it. And I've seen you work, so I know you do it with your work as well. And you do that with individuals. You do that with people as well. So to bring that into this position, my only concern is like that your empathy is okay. Like you get recharged and everything and stuff. That kind of thing is happening because you're going to need it. Yeah, because it's a big position. It's a lot to it. Walking into the job, what is one of the things that you, I don't want to say intimidated by, but one of the things like, well, okay, I feel comfortable about these things, but that's something I got to get down.
I think that the hardest part is going to just be making sure that I make the business continue to run as it has, as far as the financial part goes. And Tim has done a great job of teaching me the ropes of that. Learned how to pay the bills. Look for more cost-effective ways to keep the theater going, and just coming up with ideas and putting them into motion has been, like, he's done a lot of really great work over the last years. People who were running it before did awesome, and I just want to keep that momentum going, keep it so that the theater's motivation is to not only put on great theater, but stay in business for a very long time.
It goes back to Ellen with this, but Martha, Tim, everybody has done a really nice job in that position and added something to it, I think. Added something to the theater and its income and its ability to bring in funds. One of the things that I appreciate about all those people, and while we haven't talked about this, I feel like as something for you too, and you just said it kind of right there, it's not just about this season's productions, it's next season and the season after and making sure that we keep this theater running.
Yes. It's very important to, I mean, really a good part of that is having people come to see the shows or people be involved in the shows, because if you don't have people who want to be in the play, there's not going to be a play. And if you don't have people who come and watch the shows, you're not going to make any money off of them. So it's really a synergy of making sure that the patrons and the volunteers are happy and make them wanting to keep come back. Make them want to get their children involved so that their children eventually become adults, and making them all feel comfortable and making it a safe place for people who don't necessarily have a place. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like being inclusive is one of the biggest things in this generation.
Yeah.
Finding a way for people who have different social groups that come in and try it because they don't do sports, they don't have a hobby. I want the single mom who doesn't have a babysitter to feel comfortable asking another volunteer, hey, you're not in the show, would you be willing to watch my kid this during this time period while I'm at play practice, and building those friendships and those relationships. I am kind of excited to have my office be kind of like an open door policy for a teenager who is sick of their life and want to come eat lunch in my office and talk about theater with me. I would love to see people who have disabilities come in and say, how can I be a part of community theater, and finding them a spot, whether it's on stage or helping build something, you know, with the help of somebody else.
See, the chemistry's still there, Gretch. We still got, because you just set me up where I wanted to go. I ask what the things that you are curious how you're going to handle going into the job, which, as a side note, as a mom, I feel like you're going to be okay there. You know how to pinch pennies. You know how to cut corners. You're going to be all right. When it comes to things of why you threw your hat in the ring, why you went in for this job, what do you think you bring to it? What do you think you can bring to it that, whether it's unique or not, that is your touch?
I think my empathy is going to be a really big piece of it. I think that I've been through many different walks of life, and I have witnessed them with my job or with my family, and I feel like I can understand most any situation, or at least try to. Mm-hmm. And so getting down to like the bottom of everything and trying to make sure that people feel comfortable, because it is not my community theater, it is our community theater. And if they're not feeling welcome, then it's not going to be a good environment for them.
You feel it's part of your job making sure that vibe is there, that everybody feels welcome.
Yep.
I like that. I think that's good. And I don't think I hear that from a lot of people, whether it's in that position or any position that's kind of like yours. I think that's a very helpful thing. Speaking with Gretchen Powers, Executive Director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. I just want to throw that in there. Gretchen, what are some of your hopes about the theater, whether it's this year, in the years to come?
Well, I've got a lot of hopes, and I'd love to see our kind of fundraising scenarios grow. I'd like to have more opportunities for, I would love to see for every show that we have to have some sort of themed fundraiser. And I kind of did that with my Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that I just directed this last summer. We had a craft and vendor show with like sweet treats and everything to go along with the theme. And,
it's great,
you know, I think that fall is going to be a little bit tough because it's maybe me coming into my position and getting my feet on the ground. But by Christmas, I'd love to do something like special where we have one of our actors dress up as Santa and do like hot chocolate and cookies and like a toy drive for kids or something like that. So I'd love to see more fundraising opportunities, not only for us, but for other nonprofits in the community. How can we help the Humane Society? How can we help the Family Center? Different things like that so that we're joining the community, not just being, we're the community theater.
I famously played Santa Claus in our sixth grade play, so I have a little experience if you're looking for somebody.
Okay, keep that in mind. You might need to grow a bigger beard.
maybe a thin Jewish Santa if you're looking for that. When it comes to some of those hopes that you're talking about there, some of the things that you're looking to do going forward, they're great ideas. They're are you, though, able to take a look at this in a big picture perspective? Say maybe Christmas rolls around and you're not able to do that around then. Looking at the big picture and maybe next year we'll do this and that. Is that part of it too?
Yeah, it's about not giving up and not just brushing things off, and it's building as you go. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some people on the board who are really gonna really grow our fundraising. Mm-hmm. Heather Sayers and Phil Hartley. I think that they just joined the board this spring, and so my hope is that they're gonna be alongside me, supporting me in the PR area and everything. And if it does not work this winter, then spring, summer, next winter, whatever. I'd love to just keep that going. But I also wanna, not only do I want to have more fundraising, but I also want to have more opportunities to do other different types of theater. We've got our main stage, we've got our children's theater, we've got our Silver Foxes, and I would love to see something like us partnering with different groups like the Boys and Girls Club. The director of the Teen Center has already reached out to me if there's something we can do to, it's Ryan Winwoody, that's not his title.
Ryan's great too. Ryan's a good guy. Yeah.
And so he wants to do some sort of collaboration where one of our volunteers or myself goes and works with the teens once a week or something, give them a taste of theater so that, you know, because they might not get the same opportunities.
I've gotten to do a couple things like that over there, and those kids are amazing. Mm-hmm. They are amazing. They ask better questions than I do. They're really cool, and it's a fun experience. I'm really happy you brought this up. I was curious about this, and I wasn't going to bring it up on the air. I was going to bring it up off air. I have Terry on once a week or a couple times a week from the United Way, and one of the things that I've learned from her, and I've learned about this community, when I was a kid and I first came here, it was very crabs in a barrel. It was very everybody fighting for that dollar and pulling each other down to do it. And I've noticed in the last 5, if not 10 years, that it's the opposite now. That it's not a big deal to see two nonprofits working together or a bank and a nonprofit working together or something. And it's also not a coincidence. This area has been as strong as it has been, especially going through a pandemic and coming out of it the way we did. Not making light of any of the struggles we've had or anything like that, but if you don't have to look very far to see cities and towns that had a lot worse. I think our area was set and prepared much better because we are teamwork. We are working together. It sounds like that's something you would like to do more of, you working with other nonprofits.
Yep, and I feel I will be following in Tim's footsteps and joining Rotary. So
cool.
The 28th, I think, is the very first time I'm going to be attending one of those things.
So, that's cool.
And just getting involved, I would love to create some sort of theatrical opportunity for people with disabilities. I've seen other areas, I don't remember, some place in Marathon County or in that area when I lived out there, they had a group where the actors were the people with disabilities and then the volunteers were like the narrators. So the characters would all be played by the... So I would love to do something
get
partnered with ODC or something and get some people who would love to do acting that have never gotten that chance, you know?
Chris, that's a great idea. So, that's really, especially you bring up the ODC. Hey, you got clients, you got people over there dying to do this kind of stuff. You're going to get some people auditioning. You're definitely. And some of the best people you'll meet, too. So here's an opportunity, too, where a rising tide raises all boats. Let's just play this out a little bit. You bring the ODC and you do something like that with them. Here we are showing those clients, those individuals that are completely capable of working in this area, and then showing that to businesses and employers that are coming to see this show. During that whole thing, WRCT benefits and gets, you know, whether it's ticket info or ticket pay or anything like that. It's a win-win-win kind of situation. Like, that's really cool. I'm very excited to hear about that stuff.
So I can't wait to try to put some of those things into motion. And yeah. I don't know. I got a lot of ideas swimming around in my big head. But
yeah, well, and we don't want to give away everything, you know.
No.
We can preview some stuff to come, I'm sure, eventually. And you're going to be joining us many times. I already forced Gretchen to sign a contract that she'll do director's cut with us at some point. Because your story is so, you know how I am with the story. I think every person has an amazing origin story. Yours is a little more unique than most, and I think it's very cool. I think where what we just talked about earlier, you're going from being a kid on that stage in Ho-Po to where you are now. We need an hour to talk about that. We needed some time, and looking forward to it. For now, is there anything that you would like people to know about you being in this position going forward? Anything in particular?
I just want people to know that they can always come to me if they have an idea. I'm open to listen and try to figure out the best way to make that happen. We have a whole board supporting us. Sometimes you have an idea for a fundraiser, or if you want to do some sort of like director's showcase, we want to hear about those and we want to see how we can get you involved. And so if you've never done it before and you want to come and sit and have coffee with me and talk about how to get involved with the theater, just know that my office door will be open.
Appreciate that, Gretchen. And especially because I have this Simpsons one-man show that I've been trying to get somebody to give me a stage to do. It's not that good, and I'm not great at the impressions, but I really wanted to. No. Actually, my daughter's been working on a play for both of us that she's writing.
Oh, that's awesome.
I had brought this up with Tim about doing this, using the studio theater for it and everything, and things like that. I imagine is stuff that you want to do going forward.
Absolutely.
So many great local playwrights. You and I know Mike Egrin and some others like that out there. It's cool to be able to offer a stage to them, to be able to do something like that. And cost-effect-wise, it works out too. So,
and we're finding that we can do more and more with that little stage. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's a great stage. Let's take some time as we're wrapping up here with our last 10 so minutes or whatever, talking about the new season. Blythe Spirit just released its cast list. The great Noel Coward classic, directed by one of our best directors, in Linda Garsky. This is a fun show to kick off the season.
It's going to be great. I went and watched auditions the first night, and it was just a great ball of laughs. Yeah. Everybody who was up there did fantastic, even those that didn't get a part. And I think that those people had so much fun just auditioning that they're going to come out for other shows, which is kind of the goal. You want more than enough people to audition so that you have to turn some away because you want the choice of everything. I think Linda picked a great cast, but all those people who auditioned, none of them missed a line. None of them missed a beat. Yeah. They were all very funny. Mm. So I really hope they all come back to at least something. But they're doing so good building the set already. They already have the walls up. I think you saw the Facebook post.
Yeah, Linda put something out about it. I was like, yeah. Right. Like, that's awesome. That's
really,
really cool.
That's not normal for theaters. You get, if you don't have a location like other theaters in the area, you wait until the week or so, 2 weeks before your show to put your set up. So they're having their set is up before they even have their read-through on the day.
It's incredible. That's awesome. And I'm a little jealous of that. This is pretty cool. Blythe Spirit premieres October 6th, goes on to 7th, 12th, 13th, and 14th at 7 o'clock on October 14th. You'll have a 2 o'clock matinee. And that schedule that's currently in place for this year. I'm curious to know, and I'm not putting you on the spot right now, but going forward, if we keep that schedule or not, because I know that got tinkered with a year or two ago too. I think it works. I have no issues with it. I just, another question, another thing to talk about, you know, down the line and such. But Blythe Spirit going to be October 6th. That will premiere. The very next show after that is, of course, our holiday play, A Candle in the Window. It's going to be directed by Bob Sosinski.
Is it Deb?
Oh, yep. It is Deb. So. Oh, it's Deb. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so this is her first time directing, yeah. And she's already been to the theater to look for props and everything.
Of course.
She's a doll, and she's going to do such a good job with it. So,
Because of you, she's one of my stage moms from It's a Wonderful Life and everything. A great person. She's going to be really good at that. Great show, too. Not your typical holiday show.
It's not like Miracle on 34th Street mm-hmm. or It's a Wonderful Life, but it's got good meanings, good messages, and hopefully it'll leave people with the Christmas spirit.
Well, and this is something that I when I talk about community theaters, why you guys are the first ones I bring up. You can do classics, but you do every once in a while throw in something a little bit different that while it's going to bring just as many people in, it's not... It's a Wonderful Life. It's not, a Miracle on 34th Street. We know those. We see those and we love them. But we love them if they're not every year. You know, I think that's really smart play selection.
And I'm excited for that one. There's even going to be parts for children in that. So, there's not a lot of opportunities for kids to get on the main stage. But this would be one of them. So,
Great note to mention, especially the parents out there listening that want to get their kids involved in these things. That's a good note about that. The Glass Menagerie, the Tennessee Williams classic, going to be after that, directed by this Seth Harbinger, Harhager, I can't pronounce that. I don't know how you, why would you use that name? Seth Habager, of course, my partner in sound around here. I'm so excited for Seth about this.
I'm so excited for Seth. He's going to do such a good job with that one. And I think that was a show they did, I think, back in like 1970-something.
One of the earlier shows. I want to say. 76 or 78. I'm a nerd about this. I've looked at WRCT's yep. history a lot. But yeah, it's been a while since they've done this one.
So I'm excited that they're going to reprise it. I believe that Mrs. Johannes, my old English teacher, was... I believe
you're right. She was. She was mine too. We had her for director's cut a while back, yeah. And I brought it up. And a few times in my life, I've seen that woman be like, "Oh no, she didn't want to talk about that. She did not want to talk about that." It's a great show. It's a Tennessee Williams show. Period. So I mean, even if you don't know the show, you know Tennessee Williams. You know you're getting some good writing there, and you're going to get a good turnout. Seth is going to bring some people in, I imagine, as we get for all these auditions. And he's very good at what he does. He's been talking about this for a long time, about his ideas for this show. It's going to be a really good one. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap up the season with Rumors from Neil Simon. A classic, a staple, but one we haven't done in a while. It's been a little bit.
I feel like people hear about that one and they say, that's the one I'm going to audition for. Apparently it's really catching people's eye.
I bet.
Christine Sullivan, this will be her first time directing as well. It's great. We're getting three new directors in this season. And so Christine's already been to the theater looking for stuff. She's got set pieces ordered and she was sitting there with her stage manager blocking her show. So we're awesome. Ahead of the game. Yeah. So like she's very eager and excited for it. And I know some actors who are pretty eager and excited for it too. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people I know in community chomping at the bit to audition for these shows. And I've heard from at least six or seven people I can think of off the top of my head that are usually couples and with somebody else or something. So they're going to. And that's just now. But we haven't even gotten close to auditions yet for some of these. So I think you're right. You also, once again, set me up perfectly, Gretch, because I wanted to wrap up with needing directors, needing actors, needing prop people, needing volunteers. We're always looking for that at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. But it isn't your normal volunteering or being a part of a nonprofit. We should warn people. You do some at the theater, you're never leaving. You're always going to be a part of this family.
Yep. Once you get the theater blood in, you can't get away. Sorry.
You really can't help it. I mean, you're the perfect example of this. You really are. We want come one, come all. To Gretchen's point early on in this conversation, that is who is welcome there. Everybody. And it ain't just saying it. It's backing it up. We really do. That theater was the first place in this, not just this town, this state, and maybe one of the first things in this world that made me feel... Like I wasn't alone. Like I belonged somewhere. I've never been in any clubs. I was in sports teams and stuff, and I never really felt like I gelled with that. But being at that theater and doing Corpse with Steve and Linda, that changed my life. It didn't just change my career or anything like that. It gave me something that nothing had given me at that point. That's what it can do for you. That's the kind of stuff it can do. And more, or just as much to the point, it's so much fun. The reason we say you're not going to leave is because if you are just in back doing props, well, that's not just props. That is a lot, and it's a fun gig. There's no position, no thing you can do a part of these plays that you're not going to have a good time with. We encourage you to come check them out. Gretchen, if people have follow-up questions or anything, do you have an email yet? Do you have somewhere?
I'm taking over Tim's email. And so
okay.
So right now we're both kind of monitoring it. But if starting like the 24th, I'll be there full-time. Mm-hmm. And then he's done, I think, August, one of the last couple days of August. Mm-hmm. So it's CDWRCT Theater. CDWRCT at Solaris.net. Or you can call 715-421-0435 and just ask, call, talk to me. If I'm not there, leave me a voicemail, and we can have a conversation.
Yeah. You can find that information and more and get yourself tickets at wrctheater.org. Get your tickets right now for Blythe Spirit. Get season tickets. That way you ain't got to worry about getting tickets for shows or anything.
And they're
anything.
Cheaper if you get season tickets.
Nice. Nicely done. And as we wrap up, I do want to send a shout out to Tim Young. Tim, we appreciate you. Appreciate what you brought to this area. We'll be in touch, brother. You're not getting rid of me that easy, Tim. We appreciate everything you've done, and we're looking forward to this new era for WRCT. Thanks, Gretch. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, and welcome back to the Forgotten Country Radio Show. I'm Matt Hildreth, and I'm here with Drew Morgan. Each week, we take 2 hours, and we look for country music songs that have kind of fallen off of the mainstream. These are songs that have been forgotten over the last several years, or songs that maybe were never discovered. And each week, we pick a theme, and today's theme is all about the blues. So, Drew, I'm really excited to go through some of these songs with you, looking at the blues.
Me too. I'm so pumped. I was thinking about our theme. In general of forgotten country, you know, things that were overlooked or that we need to remember. And it's kind of ironic or a paradox because a lot of the blues is about forgetting. It's about trying to forget and not remember. It's about forgetting what the lady did to you or the man or the boss. But a good way to get through that, obviously, is to sing about it. And I love the blues, and I love the blues' influence on country music. You can see it through the lyrics. You can hear it through the melodies. And it's just such an interesting and cool part of American history that all of our musical genres grew up together. So they influenced each other the same way the kids you grew up with affected the way you talk or dress. That's what happened with music in America.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, just the connection to the blues is something that a lot of people have forgotten about in recent years. To your point, it feels today that you have country music, you have blues music, you have rock music, you have kind of all these different, you know, stations that you can tune into. But in fact, it was all happening together. And, you know, the blues used to be called the rural blues, which was a reference or at least a specific type of music that was coming up through the Mississippi Delta, really impacting singers in Texas and in Mississippi and in the Deep South. And it was largely coming from Black communities, very much connected to field songs that slaves were singing in the fields. And it developed, you know, very much at the same time that you had the, you know, hillbilly music of Appalachia. And it wasn't until, you know, bluegrass music around the time of World War II when the bluegrass artists started incorporating blues chords and jazz chords into their music. And it was this real intentional practice back then to do that.
And if you look at the history of the recording industry, specifically in Nashville and Memphis, you can see a direct line of what you were talking about, where the blues and sort of hillbilly music and those musicians came together and started creating new songs or reimagining old ones. And the record labels decided to divide their Black artists and they're country artists and play them on different radio stations. And of course, we're getting into segregation and stuff like that. But interestingly, a lot of these songs were both country songs and R&B. What's R&B? Rhythm and blues songs, sold to different groups of people by different companies under the same umbrella. And I really love that aspect of American history. Obviously, there's some ugliness and some pain associated with how and why those segregations happened. But I love the idea that people were making art together and then having to pretend they made it separately because the record label wanted them to.
Yeah, sometimes those, like, you know, corporate entities are doing more to divide us than I think, you know, than what's happening organically just in our communities. And I think you have specific artists. I mean, going back to Elvis, I mean, Elvis became famous for being able to play music that was, you know.
Welcome everyone to Midday Magazine for this August 18th, 2023, 3:30 on the clock. And you have your host, James J. Mailoff here. We're welcoming in our friend, Dan Minter, president at Assumption Catholic Schools. Good afternoon, Dan. Almost said morning. Almost did it.
Good afternoon, James. Thanks for having me over again. I always appreciate this opportunity to address the greater Wisconsin Rapids area community, the residents and that. So it's really great to be here again.
Dan, I want to dive into what parents and kids could be good for them to know to get ready for the school year and enrollment and that. But before we go there, what do you do to get ready for the school year? How do you prepare for things?
Well, myself personally, you know, for me, it's a lot of, you know, supervising my central office type things, mm-hmm. You know, rewriting handbooks and policies and working with the principals. They're responsible for hiring the staff in the individual buildings. I just get to approve the contracts mm-hmm. at the end. But it's a lot of, you know, getting my central office, my finance manager, controller, you know, she's putting the tuition billings into the system, you know, getting the budgets in so people know how much money they have to spend this year. Budget's obviously already done, but mm-hmm. now we got to put it into the accounting system. So it's a lot of back office type things. And, you know, a school, while the students might be gone over the course of the summer, at least to some extent they are, you know, the offices remain open, and you know, we always try to do things, you know, to get ready. You know, for example, our staff will be reporting on Monday for their first day of in service, so we had to plan what they're going to do, and we had to, you know, get ready, order the food, mm-hmm. you know, so on and so forth, you know. And then also, you know, remember to give them time to actually work in their classrooms mm-hmm. because they want to get their rooms ready.
Yeah. Dan, so for you, I'm curious about this. I've talked to a lot of teachers over the years when it comes to this, and I think as kids, we always think, well, teachers have summers off. I don't know any teachers that take the summer off. I don't know whether it's financially they can't, or it's just a matter of they are that into their job, because most people that teach, it's a passion. It's not just about the paycheck. So they don't really ever turn it off. Is it the same thing for you?
It's pretty much the same thing for me. I mean, my contract is year-round. So, yeah. You know, I have vacation days mm-hmm. that I can use. But when you're talking the administrative staff mm-hmm. of the schools, whether it be principals or myself and the other people in my central office, our contracts are year-round because there's things that we have to do in the summer that you really can't do during the school year. During the school year, the principals are concentrating on their individual buildings, mm-hmm. working with their teaching staff, with what's going on in the building, with the kids that are there. And so they have less time to mm-hmm. do some of those big picture thinking. I sort of have more time all year round to do the big picture thinking, but I can't do the big picture thinking alone. I need my administrative staff yeah. as well. So it's different. Obviously, the hallways are a little quieter
yeah,
at times, except for the sports time. You know, obviously, sports camps are going on, or they're resurfacing the gym, or they're putting a roof on one of the buildings. So it's a different busy. It's a different busy.
How much of this time in the summer is sent, because we've talked a little bit before, and I remember there's a couple of things about you, Dan, that we have a similar in common. The idea of, as the school year is going on, making mental notes and like, well, next year I'd like to do this different, or I'd like to improve this, or I'd like to add to this.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. We make those notes during the year, whether it's me or my principals making those notes of things that are going on during the year. Yep, we definitely we want to do that again next year. Or, yeah, no, maybe we got to try something different, or that sort of run its course. Because then the summertime is the time when they're planning their building schedules, putting together the class schedules for the students, you know, and then if we are adding or deleting things related to events or activities, you know, then that's the time to put it in. Because again, a little bit more time to think about those things. You know, at the same time, you know, much like you said, you know, the teachers, you know, they have that passion, any teacher, they have that passion for being in the classroom. You know, my principals and other staff, they have that passion for being there as well, because, you know, our goal is to have that experience for those students be the best possible education and faith experience that we can provide for them. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal. At the same time, we all like downtime, and we all try to take, and I do encourage them, you know, or you know, say one of my principals on vacation, it's like, no, please do not answer your email this week. You will probably get emails from me, because if I don't send it out right then, I might not remember to send it out next week when you're back, but Right. Don't feel that you have to answer me this week. At work sometimes.
Speaking with Dan Minter, president of Assumption Catholic Schools. Dan, we touched on this a little bit. Are there any new additions? Are there any new things this school year for students and parents to look forward to?
Well, we will have some new staff, and some staff that have changed locations and have different roles this year than they had last year. We didn't necessarily add any new programs. We're maybe building and expanding some of the ones that we have added in the past couple of years. You know, at the high school level, in the last year or two, we've added in. Building trades is the wrong word for it, but it's more, you know, teaching kids about electricity and making things, you know. Yeah. They made some really nice garden planners last year that they sold at our various events. Or they're practicing how to wire electrical outlet, you know, measure and cut wood. So that was something new that we added in the last year or so, and that was fairly popular. Mm-hmm. We also added in, or brought back rather, family and consumer education. So giving some of those practical skills, again at the high school level, the practical skills, you know, about cooking and how to do things, you know, related to once you leave school and you leave your parents' house, then you have to be able to, you know, what's that new term? The adulting?
Yes,
helping them learn those skills. And same thing, personal finance up at the high school level. We had some generous donors the last couple of years that provided the Dave Ramsey curriculum for our business classes to use. Again, giving those kids the skills to know, it's like, well, okay, now you're going to get, you know, 500 applications for credit cards when you graduate or enter college, and you probably don't want to apply for 500 credit cards, just to be really exaggerated. But try to give them those skills. Again, those skills, you know, we like to give them the academic skills, and that's still our pride and joy, is our academics that we offer at Assumption. But we also educate the entire child, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And part of the mind is learning how to function once you leave the school and you leave your parents' house and you go off on your own, whether it be to college or to the job or to both. And so those are a couple of things at the high school level. Those are some things that we're really, really happy with. At the elementary level, specific to us being a Catholic school, there's this program. It's called Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And it is a Montessori. Now, Montessori is a school philosophy where it's really hands-on and child-focused, child-directed. And this Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a Montessori-based program for lower elementary, so preschool through fifth grade. And it's a one-third of what we do in our faith education. So we have this Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, where they have models of what the altar looks like. They have a model of Jerusalem in one of the groups. They do a lot of those things. And then they start making reflections about when they're older. They'll start making reflections. And then obviously we have our regular religion curriculum. And then we have, you know, things like daily mass and prayer services, you know, and putting it all together, because, you know, our mission is to bring forth our Catholic identity, bring forth the Catholic faith to the students and parents and staff at our school, because that is what the church has charged us as a Catholic school to be doing. On the sports side of it, my tennis coach is extremely excited. For the first time ever, we have a middle school girls tennis team. There are 12 girls out for tennis at the middle school level. And I believe he said there's 16 at the high school level on our varsity and junior team. So he's extremely excited to have a middle school tennis team for the first time ever. Obviously, you know, we have all of our other sports going on as well, but that's probably been, you know, the thing that we're most excited about for the fall sports, at least.
Sure, sure. And, you know, you and I could talk for hours about the Assumption Girls basketball team or things like that and stuff, the football team and this, but it's so encouraging to hear about some of these sports that we don't always get to talk about, the growth of them. I'm a big tennis fan, so I love hearing that. Right. That's awesome.
Well, you know, even growth, although this isn't happening right now, it'll be happening later on. We have a co-op program with Nakusa because they have boys and girls wrestling at Nakusa. And so our wrestlers, for those at Assumption that want to wrestle, they go to Nakusa to wrestle. Mm. And we had two girls on the Nakusa team, and they actually made it all the way to the state tournament in wrestling this past January. So that was exciting. You know, and we, you know, co-op hockey, you know, and that's a bigger grouping of
schools. But that's really exciting, too.
Right. So, we appreciate all of the public schools that we do partner with for those co-op programs or some of the services that we get from Rapids Public, you know, particularly related to busing and some of the title and speech services. So. You
know, forgive me, Dan, for not knowing this by heart or beforehand or not, but it seems growing up that they were two really separate things, that Catholic schools and public schools really didn't intermingle very much, certainly didn't share resources or a lot of these things. It feels like something that's happened in recent years or recent decades. Is that true, or has it always been a thing?
No, you are right. It's more but probably recent decades, say last 30 or so years, since, you know, back in the days of Ronald Reagan and you know, with No Child Left Behind under George Bush. There's been more programs, a lot of the federal programs like the title services for speech and language and occupational therapy. Those services come from grants from the federal government, and they flow through the local public school. Mm-hmm. And then we, in turn, and Emmanuel Lutheran as well, and St. Paul's in town, the private schools then get a share of that funding based upon our percentage of students and percentage of need and so on and so forth. We don't share a lot necessarily on the academic side. We partner a couple times with Midstate. We have an AutoCAD class for our high school students with Midstate, but we don't have a lot of academic partnerships. But the sports is another one that's written into the WIAA rules about the idea of having co-op teams. And then it's just a matter of, you know, which school districts we can work with, you know, do they have room to let our students participate, you know, or not. But whatever we can do, busing is actually state law. That's actually in the state constitution. But, you know, we all serve these students, whether they start at Assumption and finish at Lincoln, start at Rapids Public Elementary and finish with us, or vice, or any combination thereof, you know, in the end, all the schools exist to serve this community and to prepare the students to be good citizens and knowledgeable citizens when they are adults in the community.
It's interesting to me, though, because I didn't come into the interview thinking about this, but I just I had Terry Johns from the United Way on. I was talking with Gretchen from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and talking with a couple of nonprofits. One of the things that stood out to me almost any time we have them in studio with us is how much different it is now compared to when I first moved to this area, where now it seems it's much more. It's surprising to see business and nonprofits not working together. Like a nonprofit working together is not a big deal anymore. Like that happens a lot more, and I think it has strengthened our community. It has shown a real team effort. To hear this on the school level, on the education level, is groundbreaking to me. Like this is incredibly important going forward. It's all hands on deck when it comes to these kids and making sure they have all the tools they need to go on and continue to do things. So when it comes to an event like the United Stuff the Bus, you know, we're not just grabbing supplies for this group or this group. It's for all kids. events like that, things like you're talking about there, I think can only strengthen our community and be better for these kids.
Oh, yeah. We're grateful for what the United Way does, the Stuff the Bus event, gives all of our students, in terms of, in conglomerate of of all the schools, there are needs out there. And so the fact that those parents have a place that they can go to receive some school supplies, that's really great. Or like this past, during the summertime, the public schools do summer school meals out of their school kitchens, and those are open to any student in the community, no matter where they go to school or even if they're homeschooled. And so they have the larger population, so it makes sense for them to cook the meals and provide the food. But though, that's another example of cooperation, particularly in the summertime, related to meals.
Again, speaking with Dan Minter, president at Assumption Catholic Schools, we'll get an update on the new school year right around the corner. When it comes to that and enrollment and everything, I asked how you start to get ready and prepared for the new year. Do you have suggestions or things that you would recommend to parents, to kids out there, even if it's stuff that we already have taught, you would think is common knowledge? Every time I think something's common knowledge, I find out it isn't sometimes. So is there stuff that you're telling students and parents to prepare for this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, and it's probably the message they hear all the time, is get a routine established with your family. You'll get established bedtimes, established getting up times, how you're going to handle getting breakfast ready, dinner time, homework time, just have that established routine, know that it is entirely possible that those kids in the first couple of weeks from school are going to come home and they're going to be dog tired and they're going to want to curl up on the couch and go to sleep, because it's exhausting. It's maybe not physically exhausting necessarily, but between the physical and the mental, there's always a couple of weeks where everyone, and teachers do it too. When I was a classroom teacher, those first couple of weeks of school, I just come home and it's like, okay, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah, I'm done.
I can't, but I want to.
Right.
So I'd say establish a routine is the best thing. Another thing for parents to remember, no matter what school you're at, be in communication with your classroom teacher, with your kids' teachers. Talk to them, email them, find out what's going on. I'd say remember, we call them Friday flyers. I don't know what the other schools call them, but the schools send home newsletters every week. Make sure you check your child's backpack when school starts. Look for notes, because they're probably there. They just don't necessarily, I always say the student postal service doesn't always work so well, but it's the best thing that we have.
Yeah, it really is.
So, check backpacks, be in communication, try to, the more involved the parent is or some adult in the child's life is, the better the result is for the child. Because involved adults make all the difference in the world, whether we're dealing with education or athletics or just life in general.
Yeah. And that includes not only, I would, if you don't mind me piggybacking on that, being involved in events at the school and helping where you can, volunteering where you can. It's not just bringing your kid back and forth to practices. That's important and that's great. But if you can, when you're able, I know for me, one of the things that stood out to me going to school when I moved from here to from Illinois to here was that. Was seeing how many parents were involved in community things, whether it was chaperoning or being a coach on a team or any of this kind of stuff I saw a lot of growing up.
Oh, yeah. Volunteers are really important. And at each level, the role of a volunteer is somewhat different. At the elementary level, we love it when, parents or grandparents or uncles or just random people from the neighborhood, but people come in and, they'll do a reading with the kids. They'll sit down and they'll read a book with those kindergartners who don't have the ability to read on their own. But then this adult comes in and they read. Or we have some people who volunteer to help serve lunches in some of the schools. Like you mentioned, coaches, all of our middle school coaches are volunteers. Many of them are parents of the team members, but there's a ton of opportunities. And now that we are pretty much back to a normal environment in terms of interaction, allowing people into the building, I would say if you're interested in helping out and volunteering at a school, give the school building a call. So like for us, that would be our you know, Assumption Middle School, Assumption High School, Our Lady Queen of Heaven, and St. Vincent, give the school offices a call. They will gladly take your name and contact information and let you know, what we can do.
You mentioned things being, you know, quote, back to normal and everything, whatever the new normal is for us. I don't know. But it does seem like we are at that place. Is that the case? Are we in a position now where you feel we're pretty good now where things stand?
I think we're pretty good where we stand. I mean, yeah, is an outbreak always possible? Of course it is. It's a coronavirus. So that's always possible. But I also think that it is less likely, you know, we know how to deal with it now if it comes along. We still have the hand sanitizer stations at the door. We still wipe the desk surfaces down, you know, things like that. But that's really good practice, whether we have this virus wandering around or not. You know, good hygiene never goes out of business.
No.
Wash your hands, cover your mouth when you sneeze, and wash your hands after you sneeze.
Yes.
You know, there's another good advice for back to school
time. Absolutely. Yes. Nicely done. Dan, we have on our radio station today, we're very excited, and actually on our sister station, WIRI, 640 Assumption High School football. We've got Nisida coming, Assumption Nisida facing off. That is an exciting time. It's exciting to talk football. It's exciting to have this stuff on. What are some of the other events coming up at Assumption that you're excited about?
Yeah, so obviously you mentioned the football game tonight, first game of the season. That they'll actually get a game, two games in before they come back to school.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The public schools will probably have three games in before they come back to
really
school because they don't come back till after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Our tennis team, the high school tennis team, they had their first match last night. I do not know how successful they were. I didn't look it up before I came. But those are going on. You know, I would say that if you're interested in following Assumption Athletics or Assumption Events, if you go to our website, assumptioncatholicschools.org, there's a calendar link on there.
Yeah.
And there's two calendars on there. There's the athletic calendar, which is specific to all the athletic middle school through high school that's going on at that particular week of time. And then there's just our generic event calendar that might talk about other things. Related to football, specifically, because that's fall is homecoming season, our homecoming game will be on the 23rd of September against Pacelli. Here, obviously, at SWC 2000 Field. And we have a special honor this year during homecoming at the game. 1973 was the only football championship that Assumption ever won, back way before we were in the WIAA. Mm. But still, it's a football championship from the state.
Still counts.
We are going to honor the members of the 1973 football team during that game that night, or that afternoon.
Oh,
rather.
Great idea.
So encourage everybody, you know, to go to the website, to look at the events, you know, see what's going on. There's a ton of things always going on.
Oh, we know the Cranberry Classic's gonna jump up on us before we know it. That's around, you know, that'll come up soon. We always look forward to that. There's a lot of great events that go on over there that you guys host. When it comes to these, are you looking at maybe even doing different events or new things going forward?
Well,
you open to the idea.
We're open to the idea. Yeah, well, one thing that we did, we had started it briefly before COVID with bingo. We brought bingo back.
Oh, yeah,
but then COVID happened and bingo went away for a while. Well, our Royal Parents Association, so our parent teachers, our parents association, they decided to get back into bingo last year.
Cool.
And they had a fairly successful year. They had the school groups volunteer to be some of the labor at the event. And then they shared the profits, you know, say with our Washington, D.C. trip or Steubenville or one of the other, you know, club activity field trip. And so the first bingo event at Assumption will be on the 17th of September. Doors open at noon and bingo starts at 1. There will be more. They just don't have their schedule set for the rest of the year. But the first bingo event of the year will be on the 17th. And I know by the end of the bingo season last spring, it was a fairly popular thing. Mm. Well, people like to play bingo.
Yeah.
And so we look forward to having bingo back.
It's great.
Several years ago, we used to have this thing in the spring called Royal Event, which is sort of like a picnic / carnival / fair type of a thing. That's coming back sometime late in May, after Mother's Day, but before Memorial Day. So we're going to hopefully that'll be back for a spring event. And you know, obviously Christmas concerts, but too early to talk about Christmas.
A little too early, yeah. But I hear you.
Check the website.
Absolutely. That website, again, AssumptionCatholicSchools.org, AssumptionCatholicSchools.org. Dan, is that the best way to reach you, to get in touch with you, send them to the website?
All of our contact information is on there, whether it be my information as the president or our business office or the school principals, the school administrative assistants. The teachers are all listed on there. So, you know, that's the best and easiest way to find out everything you want to know about the school. The lunch menus are posted there.
All the events, all the information right there for you, again, at AssumptionCatholicSchools.org. And be sure to join us on WIRI today at 6:40. Our pregame will kick off. Assumption High School hosting Nisida. First game of the season. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. You know it's going to sound good. Randy's behind the call in the game. You know it will. It's going to be a great one. We're looking forward to talking about it on Playmakers on Monday. Dan, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate you. Have a great start to the school year.
Well, thanks, James, very much. Appreciate it. Always like to come in and talk about the schools, and glad to share information. And you know, I enjoy starting my sixth year here in the Rapids area. The level of the community love for all its community organizations, and it really speaks to the community and their pride in Rapids.
We love talking with you too, Dan. Thanks a lot for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Great. Thanks a lot.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. A suspected Green Bay drug dealer is free on bond. Here's Pete Schwaba.
65-year-old Stephen Priestler, also known as Uncle Fester, posted his $100,000 cash bond on Wednesday. He faces 8 charges from when police searched his East Side home back in July. Authorities found an assortment of drugs and drug paraphernalia.